total? Reminder? Six?
I don't remember. Now there's six here, and my brother's on there. John Valente's on there, so that's no, eight.
Not Joey.
Joey took his place. Okay. Yeah. So. Oh, that's right, because he was a member of the city council. Yeah.
So who's all?
There's
who's?
At least seven. Chris is not here.
Chris isn't here. So are you actually on the board, Mayor, and Derek, you're on the board, and
those
Kyle?
Those three are always on the board.
Always on the board, and then there's four of us?
Four at large.
Okay, so we have a quorum. Yes. Even though Chris. Okay.
We're only missing one. Right?
Just one?
I think Chris is the only one.
Well, actually, we're only missing half one, because Chris is not here.
He didn't count the whole.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And first matter of business, I'd like to welcome our new board member. You want to introduce yourself?
Yes.
Who's Matt?
Okay, so I'm...
you are his cousin, by the way.
Joe Church.
Joe Church?
Yeah.
Joe.
Joey?
Joey or Joe, either way. But Joey's the official. But anyway, how are we cousins?
He's a Wilson.
Are you Wilson? Well,
I am. I'm his cousin, so we got to be related somehow.
That's the only reason you got on the board.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. How did I get on the board then?
You're from out.
We're
okay. Good enough reading.
We go back far enough. Right.
So
I'm pretty sure we're related if we go back far
enough. So I've got we have the silos, little vacation rentals over here.
Uh-huh.
Did you know Vernon Church?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm his great-grandson.
You know Pearl?
Yeah, Pearl Stratton.
Yeah, so Pearl
Stratton.
She was a Wilson.
Yeah.
She was Trevor Wilson's sister, I believe.
Yeah. And so her daughter, Muriel, was a Stratton, and then married Walter.
Okay.
And then my dad, Bruce, the oldest of the clan. He was,
so your dad, Walter's brother?
Son.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Walter and Muriel were in the same ward when I moved here. Moved over here 36 years ago.
Yeah.
So
that ties us in with family.
Were you on planning and zoning or other community? Mayor just appointed you.
Yeah.
Or the council?
Yeah,
previously the council did.
Council.
I presented it to the council and they approved it.
Okay.
So I've been on a previous board with Iron County Home Builders. So I was on their board, and then prior to being on the board there, I was on the education committee.
Okay. Yeah, I was in Iron County for 17 years or something. Worked there for 15.
For
the county.
Oh, nice. For Iron?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I was involved in the planning and zoning.
Zoning.
Yeah. Chad Nay at the time.
I know Chad.
I like Chad.
Western boy.
I knew Chad in high school. We were friends in high school.
Yeah.
And then when I was at college, I knew Chad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, are we going to do a swearing in?
Yep. I'll swear you in. Hand
you
up.
Want to stand to do this?
Say,
is that informal?
So I state your name.
Joey Church.
Having been appointed. Just repeat.
You have to say that word.
Just repeat, yeah, having been appointed. To the Office of Water Board.
To the Office of Water Board.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties.
And I will discharge the duties.
Of my office with fidelity.
Of my office with fidelity.
Great.
Did we have to do
that? I'll have you just sign right there, too.
I don't remember, but I know we did.
I remember.
Okay.
Thank you.
But it was a long time ago. I've been on this board, 4 years?
Well, welcome.
You've been on longer, haven't you?
4 or 5 years.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Next item is approval of minutes for October 23rd and December 29th. October 23rd, regular meeting, December 29th, special meeting. Do we have any discussion?
Yeah,
I move we approve.
A second.
Okay, I have a motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Let's jump to reports. Water purchases. Kyle?
I've handed this little report out to you. Those three that are highlighted in orange or whatever you want to call that color, that is money that the city has reclaimed due to non-payment of their bill. And they were notified and we went through the processes of doing that. So I believe that amounted to two shares or something like that. Anyway, it's come back. And the way it works is, and it says in the code, if for whatever reason they want to come in and reclaim that back, they can, but only they can. We can't sell that water. Once it's a city's, but they could come back in, we could reinstate that, but they would have to pay everything from the time it was taken, $124.36, and any other interest that they
We've actually talked to them or certified?
They got notification probably three different times.
Okay.
And the last one was a letter from the attorney that was delivered and put certified mail.
It was certified, okay.
Scott and Terry, what's
the... Well, Scott and Terry, he is billed separately twice. So when he first went on, he paid it, and now he's back on in the past due. But he's billed two times in a year because he has enough water. That's the other thing is the way it was set up by in the contract between the canal district or canal company in the city. It states in there that we can't take anything back until 180 days. So we have to give them a half a year to come into compliance. So we just do once a year we send out. When the water comes back in sometime around June 1st, we'll send out another list, and there will be probably 25 people on that list that get the letter from me that states you got 180 days, which falls into December sometime, for them to pay it. Most of them pay it after they get that letter. Then they get a second letter in December that states you need to pay your bill or it's going to be taken away, and then after that, the attorney gives them a letter. Normally we have maybe one or two on there. This time we have three. I don't know these people. It seemed like Victor Ripa or Rippy or whatever. That name sounds familiar, but I don't know him. But they've opted. Now what the city does is we start charging them monthly rent. And that usually brings them in and saying, hey, my water bill's gone up.
Does that just go on their water bill?
Water bill.
Okay.
And then they're charged. And so if water comes back in March, they'll get a bill. And it takes them a month or two before they get past due. And then that's when we send out the first round of letters. A lot of times what ends up happening is people have a house and they've either went through quite a bit. It either gets lost or foreclosed or whatever. And people just assume that the water goes with the property and it doesn't. It's its own separate thing. You tell them that. Sometimes they pay for it. Sometimes they don't. Bob Litchfield right now is one that he sold his property down here. I don't think he has any more property in Laverkan that I know of. And at one time he was going to sell his water to the city. I think he has almost five shares.
What do we do?
He didn't pay it. He was on this list.
Okay, what do we do with someone that owns shares that doesn't have property in the city to apply
it? We have people. You know, we have Catholic Church has a share that was given to them. They thought about selling it to the city, but the person who gave it to them stated on there that they can have it, but they can't sell it. But they pay every year. They pay their fee, and it even states in there. Especially not to the Mormon Church. They didn't want the Mormons to get it. Anyway, we do have a lot of people that have the Water Conservancy District has.
Yeah, that's
37 shares,
about.
And
yeah.
As long as they pay their assessment, they can have it. And we do have, like Bob Litchfield would be one. He has said, well, maybe I'll sell it, and I suspect it's kind of fallen through the cracks because he got on the list and. after he got the letter from the attorney, and they called, said, what do we got to do? And I said, well, here's your options.
Why don't you send one letter, and I say, pop one, and you just donate it back. And he said,
donate it? Well, I would. I don't have a
problem. You can use that as a tax deduction.
It's Derek Esplin is his account. That's who I get, and I have his contact information. And he might.
Because he was going to donate property to me and use that as a tax deduction, and the crazy city council didn't turn it down.
And I don't know if he might not need the deductions as much as he did in the past, but I don't know a lot about that. But Derek's who I contact. But he's the only other one in the city. We'd gladly buy it. He said he was going to buy it. We've got the money to buy it, but at this point, and like I say, once the city acquires it, it's no longer, we can't sell it.
It's once the city acquires it, it's only available for rent.
Correct.
To be rented out.
So if I own it or rent it, is there a cost difference on my bill?
It used to be a little different. Now the shareholders, contract holders, pay slightly less.
Okay.
Than what the renters do, but it's pretty close now. So there's anymore, it's not the incentive to buy a share is not as big as it used to be.
Okay.
And so, Bob, I don't know.
When that gets equal, I'll just sell mine. So.
Well, I almost bet that we'll hear from Bob next year when he gets on the list again, because it's just, it'll pop up, and then again, we'll, if I haven't got it donated.
Better to keep your share if you have a place to apply it.
Yeah.
Because then you're guaranteed you're going to have that water. You get first priority as far as that goes. But as time goes on and people build on their land and stuff like that, don't use the water, that's going to eventually just turn into drinking water for the city for that use with that agreement we have with the water industry. So it's just, it's actually just a good thing now. We're not going to lose the water. It's not going to go down the stream to the next person. It's going to go to the district, and it'll come back to us in the water commission.
That's it. And interesting, the hot spring down here, you know, have a few Howard's Field, and he had 11 shares of water. Did they get 11? How many they bought?
12. Was it 12?
Anyway, there was a lot of water that went to that land.
And between 11 and 14.
They were from New York, and they probably heard all the horror stories about the water shortage. So they've got 12 shares of water out there to water that parking lot.
If they're not using
it. They will. You know, they might have a little bit that they're using as far as some of the plants.
The trees and plants.
But it turned from a pasture into a parking lot, and they insisted. We tried talking them out of it, but they bought it. And I don't know how much you got, but anyway, it was just added into the deal. And they wanted the 11 shares. Someday maybe you could go to them and say, you know, are you interested in selling that back or whatever? I don't know. But right now they just have heard about the water problems, which they're not lying. But,
yeah. Too bad you can't raise the rate for non-use. Rather than, you know, how it's usually more use you get.
Yeah, well,
I remember talking to Zach once when he bought a bunch of shares from down on the creek down here.
Who was that from? That Virgin River. Rose.
I said, Zach, you paid way too much money for that. You ought to just give it back to the city. And, oh, no. I said, you can't use that water anywhere else. And he said, oh, I think we can. I said, no, you can't.
No.
And so.
Because it's not a water right.
No, it's not. No. And
it's just a. It's like a share.
It's
similar to a share in a canal company, which you can't take canal company shares and convert them to rights. They're shares, and you can't take that share and go down to Santa Clara and use
Liverpool. On the different canal.
Contract has to be used on the Liverpool.
Yep. A canal company share, you do own part of that right. You can.
Can you?
Go through the process, sell it to somebody, they have to go through the process of getting the change application and all of that stuff.
And breaking it out.
And a diversion, change of diversion and all that. That's possible.
Okay, so this is completely.
But
even
now that you have a delivery contract, you have no water right.
Because it's with Laverne City, it's not with the state of Utah.
Right.
That's why the agreement we made with the kit, when the canal company turned the shares over to the city can protect those rights way better than the canal company. As a canal company, like working as they build out in the fields out there, eventually they'll come in and re-adjudicate the canal company, and they will lose water rights because they're not using them. But now the city's got the water right. The reason we were able to do what we did, and we got straight across.
No haircut.
No haircuts, and it all goes to culinary water for us.
And that was one of the things that the members of the canal board, I talked to them about, Gordon and your dad and Stan Anderson and those guys, how angry they were that every year when we got used less agricultural water here, the city would, or the state would evaluate us and said, well, you don't need this much water because you don't use that much water, so we're taking it.
Yeah.
And that was the whole premise behind the change. And I was thankful for that.
The city can protect it.
Yeah, I was thankful for that because the city can protect it, but the canal company is a private entity and they can't protect it. Yeah. And I was really thankful when and I didn't realize that that's what the advantage for us to do it like we did. But it's in retrospect now, it was a really good thing for us to do it like we did.
Yeah. And the delivery contracts protect those people that we're using the water.
Okay, well, thank you, Kyle.
I'll contact Derek Esplin and just ask him if he'd be interested in donating that water. And they can attach whatever amount they want to it.
He's the accountant.
It is. Would they save him money?
Well, he could probably count it as a higher value because, you know, I don't care what value you put to it. We're not giving you the money.
There you go.
Okay, very good. Item B, Virgin River Distribution System Water Users Meeting.
Mayor Wilson. I attended that annual meeting. It was pretty, wasn't a whole lot to it. Just went through the budget and all of that. They just indicated, too, that this year looks like it's probably going to be a tough year for water coming down the Virgin River because of the snowpack. And most likely there will be a call on the river. And they generally don't go past 1900.
Wait, what?
They don't go past 1900 on the call.
Okay. And ours is 18.
The majority of ours is 1660 of our ride is before 1900. We do have some that's at 1900. Mm-hmm. Hurricane is at 1900. If you go beyond that, Hurricane Canal Company would be cut off, and so would of the other canal companies down the river, so, and the water district. So I doubt they'll go past 1900. They haven't done in the past.
We're just in good shape.
We're the best of, we're third best on the river. And
some little rights up river.
And that's, yeah, they're very small. Yeah. They did have in here what the usage was on the river. This is your information that we... we used 1940 of our water right, which is 2640 now. So there are 700 acre feet that we did not use when we went on down the river. From now on, it will go to the water district and turn it to culinary water. Hurricane Canal Company used 10,345 acre feet. Washington's, I don't get this, Washington, the water district and St. George Treatment Plant used 22,810 feet. So that went to the water district out of the river. I guess that's their right. And St. George Canal Company was 15,011 acre feet that they used. And some of the others had on there, but that's just an idea of where the water goes.
Yeah, I wonder if they have the water. They have the diversion. How much was diverted from at the diversion dam?
It would have been Laverkin which would have been, was 1940. Our hurricane was 10-345, and the water district was 22-810. A hurricane city 13-54, and the hurricane golf course was 510. So, and Interstate Rock was 213, and that was all would have been out of the diversion dam.
Okay.
So. And the rest of it would have been either above the diversion dam or below. So
yeah,
that's what we get in that pipeline. And I'll try and pass this around.
Yeah, for
everybody can if they want.
So I officially retired from the Chosen on January 31st. So I am now, I employ myself. So I'm working for myself. I got a little consulting thing going. But other than that, my time's free, so any of these water meetings like this, feel free to invite me to, because I got time now. Or any other city thing you might need, just let me know. I'll be glad.
All right.
So,
well, you must have done something wrong.
The right fashion.
The attorney showed up.
What did I do wrong?
I thought we were going to be done before you got here.
I heard voices.
You can,
I heard voices.
You,
say,
you felt this something like me.
I don't have to be at. Until Nancy came in and spoiled it.
Way to go, Nancy. Good job.
Thanks, Mayor. Item C, culinary water management update, Derek, and then the irrigation water management update, Derek, and then the upgrades regarding my list for Derek. So, Derek, just go ahead and run all three of those.
Not much on the culinary. We had a pretty rough start last year as far as breaks were concerned. At the end of this fiscal year, we've done real well. We just had our audit done by the Division of Water Rights. And our year-end slippage was 19%, which is on the higher side, but still within good operational. They'd like to be around 10 or less is good. So we just finalized that last week. But like I said, it was all due to a bad start to water breaks, which have decreased quite a bit this last about 4 or 5 months. It's been really good. Our budgets are in really good shape. We still have only spent, I think, out of our $92,000 budget, we've only spent $30,000, which is fantastic. Even by now, we're riding near the end of our budget with some time left. Irrigation-wise, we're going to bring water in for the city on the 9th to go through and fix any breaks or any other issues that we find so that we can be operational by the 16th, which will be a Monday. 15th is when we should bring it in, but that's a Sunday, so we'll wait until Monday to bring it in. So
you said you'll bring it in earlier. You just bring it into the city and just...
Well, it will be in, but there won't be... It may be in, it may be out, it may be in, maybe out.
Okay.
You know what we find. There will be no consistency.
Okay, so what I do at my place, normally when you take it out, is I open all the valves, and if I know what day you're going to start turning in, I go shut the valves so I don't flood my neighbors.
Lisa put on the billing, goes out this information, so hopefully it'll get to everybody that winterized and got the and has their valves open. So just no expectations for that first week we bring.
Yeah, I just want to be able to shut my valves so I don't flood my neighbors if it comes my way.
Yeah,
so say the 9th, and it's going to be... try to be at operational on the 15th?
16th. Yeah, it should be the 15th, but we don't want to bring it on a Sunday, so let's wait till Monday.
Oh, okay.
That gives them a week to check for leaks.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because then I can find the leaks in my pasture when they pressurize it before they turn the water in full force. Okay.
And we're assuming that we'll have, and as we get into these other reports, we're assuming that we'll have 2 more years on this, on the pump station, which is on our filter station, which is good, because now most of it's old enough now that we can't hardly get parts for it anymore. So we're hoping to ride out the next 2 years and be in pretty good shape. So as far as the list that you sent, in. I'm going to try to remember to get it as best order as I can, because I can't remember how that order. I've got it here, but I can't remember how I put it in here. So you wanted to talk about, so Confluence Park, Reclamation Facility, just talked with Mike about a half hour ago. They ran into some electrical glitches, so they don't anticipate going online until April. Yeah, he said they got ran into some panel issues that.
What's this now? The
Reeves
won't.
The treatment plant.
Right, they won't be up.
Won't be operational until April.
April of this year.
Yeah, April of this
year.
So
we're just talking 2 months.
And they hadn't driven kind of good.
Yeah.
At one time when we talked to them, they were hoping to be online in January at one time when we talked to them.
And when they did the ribbon cutting, they thought they could have it operational in 2 weeks, and then they ran into those other problems, which looks like it's...
Have they already had the ribbon cutting? Hmm? You say they've had the ribbon cutting?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
They did the ribbon cutting the 2nd of February.
If you want, I can set up a tour for this board.
I'd like to go again. That was kind of fun.
I'd like that.
I'll see what I can do to get some times out there. But so according to him, April is what they're hoping for, and at that point they'll be treating enough water, they'll land apply it just to the fields down there. Confluence Park, at this point they don't want to put anything back into the river. So we'll shut off our irrigation at 900 North, and so they'll be fully functional on the reuse water, so we don't have to worry about servicing Confluence Park anymore.
And that'll be permanent?
Mm-hmm. And then all the maintenance.
All the water there.
Everything. Yeah, all the maintenance and everything on those lines is now transfer over to them, so we won't have anything to do with it anymore.
So
that's not
going
to be permanent.
What's that?
Applying that water to Confluence Park. It's going to go close that pond.
Right.
It's going to go.
Right, but I mean, there still be water that
they'll have
to allocate for that through that separate agreement they have with the so. So then this map right here is showing you, so the reuse facility is there, right there. This is how the pipeline is going to happen. So they're going to come down 900 North, 370, they're going to bore underneath the highway. This will go down 740 North to the pond.
All of this is in the road?
Uh-huh.
And it's all paved now?
Yeah.
That'll be the reuse water.
So this will be the reuse project.
Right.
And then the line will also go down Main Street from 740 down to SR9 at 500 North. Because at this point right here, our two lines, the district has one that goes down Main Street. We have that one that comes off of 100 East. And then we join here and then we share a line. So they're going to separate the lines out. So that means part of the pond project will be to put two parallel lines in and we'll separate here. So there'll be another bore underneath the highway out here.
And that's a new line also.
What's that?
That's a new line.
Uh-huh.
What diameter?
I think 24 is one of them. I don't know the other one.
It'll be a big one then.
Stuff, but this right here is all one project. This is the
pond project.
And when does that go online?
That one, well, we ran into...
I mean, we talked about it before. I just can't remember.
No, we ran into problems with... So now they're kind of getting into a little of... there's an issue between Interstate Rock and the Conservative District as far as pricing. So right now, technically, the land hasn't been purchased. So without the land, it can't be in the pond. That's a 7 million gallon pond. Right now, considering if they can get everything done and with the notes that came back from dam safety and stuff, they're hoping that we might be in shape to do something in June.
Okay.
Isn't that what we talked about, Mayor, when we were down there?
So that would include the pond, the pipelines. And wasn't there a pump station that goes in there too? And all that would be awarded to Interstate Rock.
The pump station from the pond and the line coming down to us.
What about the other side of the
13-9?
Is that SR 9? What is that?
This is 9. 9 is right here. This is the intersection. So okay. Basically, this everything in the yellow
is Main Street.
Is going to be what's going to be impacted with the line. They're going to run, including the pond and the pump station.
But they're not doing on the other side of the highway, interstate, to the treatment plant?
That's a separate project. Uh-huh. And then on the south side of there is going to be the replacement project for the irrigation system in town.
Okay.
And what's new project?
But you said that would also include not just the building of the pond, but all the pipelines and everything.
And the pump station.
But
yeah, it's better again just extend the whole thing to them. But that's not us.
Right.
That's the water district.
There is part of that. The pump station and the line from
and
the pond
line in Main Street
down to SR9.
Which that was supposed to be our part of the other project that they didn't do. So we're going to find ways, they're going to find ways to help us allocate some of that money back so it's not part of that original $13 million. So this one, if they start in June, they're pushing for an 8 to 10 month project.
That's building the pond and putting a line in.
Yeah. So, you know, we're imagining probably by the first of the year, we'll start pulling off of this next year to some degree. For our irrigation use.
So next year when we turn irrigation on, we could be using this
some
pond.
Some of it, yeah. Because we're going to try to, our project will run parallel with that. And what we're going to try to do is that we make sure that as we go along, people will take them off the old line, they'll come on the new line, and we'll try to limit the amount of time off or lack of watering time for people. So we'll slowly integrate that system back in as we go forward. Chief Torco Reservoir, I did have some maps, and they still might be in your packet, but I couldn't get them to show up on here. Is looking at being in late spring of 2027. The overview map, which is what the map I wanted to show you. So I don't think it's kind of basically showed you, and you probably should have that in your packet. Yeah, Doug's got it right there in your packet. One of us shows the regional line as far as the impact on Southern Utah, St. George, and everybody. And the other one shows just how it impacts us, our area, as far as Chief Tocqueville is concerned.
So this one, you listen, this is this one?
Yeah, so this one right here is our area, so there's the dam. And then this will be our pond project will be up in here, reuse plant. And then this other one is kind of an overview of how it is for the whole entire St. George and everything like that. And you can't get this to bring it up. That's the overall plan of what they want to do by the time they get everything connected, is they want to be able to bring all everybody's reuse water back and forth as needed to get it out to wherever it's.
Quick question, do you know the elevation of the diversion dam? Do you know the elevation of the pond we're building? It's on here, isn't it?
Might be on that plan. I know that the pond, where they put the pond, is not going to have the elevation that we do at the diversion. The reason we have to supplement with the pump.
It'll be less.
Yeah, but the pump will increase the pressure to what it is now, if not 5 or 8 pounds more.
What about, like, my place?
You'll be fine. You're not going to be impacted at all.
Well, I would like to have less pressure, so I'm...
You'll probably get 5 to 8 pounds more because of the pump. Mm-hmm. But
can we be off the pump? Those down in... down in Trail Ridge and our system, we don't need that pump.
Everybody's going to be on the pump.
Yeah. Are they?
Yeah. So
you have a pressure-reducing valve, right?
Yeah, but it fails all the time. I mean, Derek knows that it's tough to keep that. But now that the water is going to be clear.
It should be better.
It should be better.
Yeah.
You did put a bigger, I know you put a bigger filter on it for the private system in it.
Yeah.
And what's that? Yeah, once the water gets cleaner, it should operate.
But that'll give good pressure to everybody in town. So the I was just wondering if the elevation was, it's lower than the diversion dam,
it's
so
lower.
they can gravity flow into this with no problem.
Yeah,
they'll gravity flow. They'll just pump out.
Okay.
So just to jump to the secondary water project, so this, all of these lines on this map are the areas that are going to be impacted by the secondary water project. So this is a separate project from the pond project that will be running at some point together. So I imagine for the next 2 years, about every single road location will be porous to some degree. But these will be the areas that are impacted by it. And this one, we are hoping to start November of the 15th of November as we take the irrigation system out. And we, this project is scheduled for 18 months to 2 years.
And one thing that they not with is that upper line, which is the main line right now, which is the 15-inch line in the canal, changing that to 8-inch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All the way. And then using Main Street from SR 9 going to the park and down to the city office building right there. That was 24-inch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it would just be 8-inch all the way down Main Street. And with the looping and everything, they'll be able to get the volumes that they need for the whole town. That saves us from putting a bigger line up on 100 East and all throughout the town. And they're thinking that a lot of the lines could be downsized to 4-inch.
Yeah.
And that by doing that, it's going to save quite a bit of money.
We're planning on making back some of that money that we unexpectedly are getting charged for the pump station. And
when this goes out the bed, there'll be time lines established, so it will have to meet certain timelines, so we won't have run into a project that's going way longer than it should.
And I was thinking about on one of these, when there is curb and gutter, just put it in.
Right.
So you're not tearing up the curb and gutter.
Which save money.
Yeah, they don't have any money than that. The biggest problem is going to be the tearing up of the asphalt with the equipment and everything, and that's going to
streets not be out of
trouble.
I think that we just have to decide what we're going to do. I don't believe there's a city in Utah that doesn't have half their streets tore up right now because of some reason. We just live with it. We just, I mean, they put curb and gutter in front of my house from my house down to Center Street. It was a pain in the neck. But every day I'm thankful they did it. I'm so thankful they did it. It makes it so much better for the children walking to school and for us people who live there to watching for those children. It's way better. It was a pain in the neck for several months, but it's so much better.
Yeah. Progress always sucks, but when it's all said and done. And we're going to have, unfortunately, we're going to be a lot of construction. So this is the third project. This is our lead and copper project. These are the areas specifically Stoll's Trader Park. This is, what was it, 2-something million? What that ends up being?
The total project was 2.2 or something, 2.24.
We're probably going to run currently with our secondary water project is what we're assuming.
And what
we're hoping that we can do that and give some incentive to someone giving us a better bid because they'll already be here working.
Yeah. And what are we doing there?
Well, we're replacing, specifically in Stills, we have to replace the main line and all the service lines running to the yokes and then from the yokes into the houses because of the federal environmental. But okay. What we're going to do is we're going to take the water lines out of the back, out of the alleyways and put them in the front. And what we're hoping to do is to run the irrigation project and that to together to where it didn't only have to be dug up one time.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just the dynamic of how we work two different financings together to do that, because I don't think they'd be very happy to draw it twice and stuff. But it gets a lot of, this brings them up to date, gets the bigger lines in place. These other areas, they're marked, but they're only few places within those that aren't lead and copper compliant. And that they'll be doing, you know, whether it's a lead width that comes out or copper. Never have they required us to go beyond the meter. We've always stopped at the meter, but the new federal guidelines require us to get involved with the line going from the meter to the house and stuff. And this financing that we've got takes care of that, because it would be upon the city if the citizen couldn't do it. It would be upon the city to provide a filter or find some financing mechanism to get that done so that we're all compliant. So that's all I want to say about that. Does that kind of make sense? So that's our three, those are three quite large projects that we'll be doing.
One question on this particular project here. What's going to be done?
Which one is that?
It's the pond project. Piping in the pond.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be done separate from our irrigation project.
Yep.
And who's funding this?
The district's
funding.
Yeah, the whole thing, 100%.
Okay. And we're good with that alignment, going through that subdivision like that?
It's the only way we can live.
You can't go straight up and hit.
It gets too involved.
Because that trail system's going here.
Well, we've got the trail, and there's too many, the high-pressure gas line, and there's other things in there that... This is really the only way that we can do it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure it was thought through.
So is this the first one in the county to do a reclaim? Like this project?
St. George City got some reclaim out of their treatment plant. They've done it for years.
Yeah, a long time.
But not all of it is reclaimed out of there.
Eventually they'll
get, I think, 100% of reclaimed water out of there. They could go into their overall system.
When I worked at the sewer plant, this reclaim thing was in the works, and it's since come about, and I have worked at the sewer plant for 30 years.
Well, I think in the water district also purchasing some land from Interstate Rock to put in a demonstration facility.
Yeah, actually, I have that map too, because Doug didn't ask for that. I got ahead of myself with this one.
Right here, that's marked in red. It won't be that whole entire property, but that's the general location.
That'll be where you can go there and take a taste and
go up here.
What your grandpa already wants.
Yes. What I told Chad, I said, he said, is it true they turn that sewer water back in the Virgin River? And I said, they run it down to Lake Mead so you can drink it, buddy. That's why I buy bottled water.
Have we seen any plans on the demonstration garden?
No.
Or that
it's
pump?
It's pretty early right now, but that's just going to plan.
But it's going to be a pump station for secondary? Or
no, it'll be completely like a testing facility, and they'll have a garden area there.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like a miniature.
Kind of like what you got up by your...
Red Hills?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it'll be a nice little amenity for the city.
What's the retention? So say a gallon of this water goes into the treatment plant, about how much water comes back out? Do they have any percentage?
I'm sure they do. I don't have any idea what that is.
As far as what goes in,
what they got solids out, obviously.
Is there any kind of sludge or
liquid?
The sludge
actually gets shipped out.
Is it sludge or is it a solid?
It becomes a byproduct.
Do they dry it?
When we were down in San Diego, it was interesting because they had the capability of giving you a drink of water. It wasn't at that point, but there were several people that had tasted it. It said it tasted better than any bottled water you could buy. It's just what goes through your mind. But they have to put minerals back into it because it's so clean.
It
becomes not healthy for you.
So the solids down here, they ship the solids out?
Yes.
Do they take them to...
We send them to St. George.
They take them to the county to make...
Landfill.
To make it to a landfill to make mulch out of them. That's what St. George City does with their solids. And they take it out there and they make that mulch out of them with green waste and stuff. And that's what they did when I worked for them. And so,
probably what they'll do with this, too.
And they,
this will be better quality because of the people that are involved.
Yeah, pretty much. At one time there was a company was trying to put in an incinerator into the purgatory facility, or they're putting an incinerating facility, and they would take computer components and sludge and stuff like that and incinerate it, but it never did ever. We ship, when I worked at Sewer Plant, we shipped 2 or 3 trucks full of stuff up there, but it never came to be.
Yeah. I think that demonstration plant is strictly there to help people, because eventually we are going to be drinking it.
So this little...
So I think that's just to help educate people that it can be okay.
This little gal that worked for St. George City Water Treatment Plant out here by Quail Lake, she came into Schultz's one day and we were talking to her, about the water that through the treatment plant and everything else, and she said, well, it was just regular water treatment, not sewer water treatment. She said, if you looked at the water from your water bottles you buy at the store under a microscope, and you looked at the water that comes out of your tap under a microscope, she said you'd never buy bottled water again.
The water, with advanced treatment, it's going to be more pure. In fact, it's so pure, you have to say. You have to add minerals to it because it's corrosive. It makes the water corrosive. And your fittings, and if it's duct iron line, it will corrode the fittings away because it sucks those minerals back out of the ductile and the fittings to try to, that's just what water does. Pure water does not conduct electricity. But, and you just think about it, if you're drinking distilled water, pure water, it's sucking the minerals out of your body.
So when I worked at the sewer plant, we had the cascade aerators. And what happens is the water goes through the process and goes through the UV lamps, which is supposed to kill everything that's not good for you. Then it goes through the cascade aerators, and what it does is it aerates the water. It's just a series of waterfalls, and then when it gets to the bottom of the waterfall, then it just flows softly back into the river. And the claim is that you take all this stuff out with the UV lamps, then you aerate your water as you take it back in, and then it collects some of the stuff that it needs to keep it from being too pure before it turns loose into the river. And then when it goes into the river, well, then it picks that stuff up again and becomes consumable.
Yeah.
And that was the theory they talked about a lot of times when I was there.
Yeah. But I don't want that Virgin River Chub to have problems.
Or the wound fin minnow. Or the wound fin minnow.
Now to the House Bill 501. And I don't have to check on the latest. It did go through. It's going through. That's to what format it's going through. I don't know yet. But just so you kind of have an idea. So basically, because the federal government's backing out of a lot of funding packages for the states, it's left up to the states to decide how they're going to fund things. And so Utah doesn't want to fund water projects unless you're doing your part, and they really want to minimize the amount that they're putting in. So this legislation now is pretty much, it's going to be, we're going to get hit twice. It's 1.5% for water, 1.5% for sewer, even though we have a sewer district. The sewer district will probably end up implementing something similar to this. And so using the formula they're talking about right now is that if we were to base it off of our median income for Laverkin, which is $64,267, combined with 1.5% to our 1,695 connections, which is down here, that's basically a bit water bill that would be $964 per connection annually, which would put that water bill at about $80.33 per connection every month. The savings would have to be set aside every year under this form would be $1,693,988.47, which would be required for us to set aside every year. So what they're trying to do is get the cities to put enough money away that when the projects come up, they can fund it. to themselves, not have to go to the state.
For repair and replacement.
Yeah. So the thing that's going to be killer on this, and like I said, it's I know they had a date that supposedly we had to have this ramped up and ready to go, which I think was 2031. That's no longer in there. I know that they were going to force you to really step up your tier rates and stuff, and I think they've given some, they've backed off of that to a degree.
Well, they were going to, we might be exempt, or they decided that.
The exemption is 3,000 people or less.
So with this last increase that we had, rate increase, how close are we to this?
You're not close at all.
It'd be double.
Yep.
Wow.
Now, we don't know the mechanisms either, because bond payments can take a place of part of this, and money already set aside for repair and replace can take a part of this. But you are looking probably minimally anywhere from probably a $20-$25 a month up to potentially that amount of money right there has got to go into the fund, that $80.33. So basically, most people now, I think we averaged it out, we're paying like $73 or $78 a month, so that almost doubled the water bill. But then also the commercial aspect of it is higher, which will bring the cost of the residential down. So there's a lot more numbers in there. You know, so we're not setting numbers, we're just giving that.
So is that, you said something about the Ash Creek Sewer District. Is it going to be on them to collect that money and put it in, or on us, or both?
Well, it'll be up to the sewer district to figure the rate.
Right.
Or their rate.
We're going to collect it, but who's responsible to save that money?
Under the latest,
we just give the money just like a pastor. They would save their own money.
See, and John Valente told me no. He told me in his interpretation of the bill is if we're the billing entity, we're the ones that are going to have to do the savings, which doesn't make sense to him, but he says that's how it reads.
Under the latest amendments to this, which I think were the ones passed, Ash Creek is exempt.
Oh, so it got taken out then?
Then it won't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this 8033 is in addition to what our current rate is?
Yeah.
So we don't have any, we're not collecting anything right now for repair and replacement.
No, we are. Kyle's putting money away right now for repair and replace.
Right. Yeah, part of that from the last time we raided.
Yeah.
It's not that much.
Right.
We're not going to save $16 million this year.
So we could incrementally, just so we get up to.
Yeah, and they're going to give you more flexibility in your tiering, whereas before they were going to mandate harsher and higher tiering rates. They're going to back off the tiering, give you a little more latitude that way. So these
just
numbers
passed.
Yeah.
Yesterday or today.
So that finally get. I know that it passed and it was waiting to go.
Yeah, it passed yesterday.
The governor had to sign.
When you say passed, did it make it through committee? Has it gone to?
Yeah, it's passed. It's waiting for the governor to sign it.
Oh, really? Okay.
So really,
I don't know the details as much. Maybe you do, but
I don't know the details too much either.
I'm sure, we'll learn an awful lot.
It's a little murky. In the old bill, even if you didn't want state money, it was mandatory to adopt these by 2030 or whatever they've got.
2031. Yeah.
They've taken that out.
Yes.
And it's only if my reading of this is if we never want state money, then we're not required to do this.
I was going to say, if you do this, you don't probably need state money. That's what they're...
That's, I think, what the ultimate goal of state is. They're trying to get you to save your own money instead of borrowing from them.
So are they going to lower our taxes if this happens? Because literally, you're taxing people on their water that normally we'd get a grant from the state or something, or a loan or something.
Probably not a tax. You're just paying your way.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
You know, it's too bad they didn't put in the bill. If we do this, it's going to reduce the state budget by this much. We can lower. This is the state legislature.
Go find somewhere else.
But that's what I'm saying.
The thing about the state budget, it really doesn't affect that, because when you go to this, well, only unless you get grant money, but if you're borrowing money through the state, mm-hmm. you're paying it back.
That's true. The way I read this, when I read through it, it sounds like they're trying to get all these communities, everybody, to basically pay their own way so they can take this money and put it towards the Bear River project. Anybody else read the... I read through most of it. But it was a month, 3 weeks ago when I read it. It almost sounds like, yeah, you read that, it sounds like they need money for this.
Well, and they put in there, and maybe it's not in there, but one of the iterations of this bill was that there was people that could qualify for an exemption, and it would be handled by the city to determine how that worked and stuff. And it just seemed like they put an awful lot on the city to make that determination, and I hope that that got taken out, because that would be a nightmare.
So just know at some point, some degree of reworking is going to be coming down to us to go through. So, you know, those numbers are just what we started to come up when they get built.
Who will notify us of this? Is that country water district we came from? Will they be the one that will tell us this is what's going to happen? It will be on ourselves.
It will come from state. Country water district's going to have to do the same thing.
Yeah, it sounded like they needed, the state wanted to spend money on other stuff. Yeah.
Got to get that stadium up there.
And it was all northern.
Baseball team coming in.
It was all northern. Bear River. Something to do with Bear River.
I had heard
saving the Salt Lake. It was just a bunch of northern.
I worked for St. George City for 21 years, and one of the things I noticed about budgets is they always wanted to cut the budget, cut your budget, but they didn't want to cut their budget. And so it didn't matter what the
budget.
What?
That's smart budget.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. And besides that, they didn't ever emphasize better planning and better resource management to save money, so we didn't have to cut the budget. They never did emphasize that. They just emphasized cutting your budget so we can have it over here to do something else with it. And it worked all the time.
This last thing out to you before I go. So talk about more money. So the state's going to start charging us that percentage for every 1,000 gallons of water. I didn't break it down. I think it only put us, what, around $38, $48 a month, I think, that we were.
I thought that was a year.
The year, sorry. The year that we'll go back for them to be able to fund their administrative fees and things like that. So this is another.
Goes through, I think we planned on before this other thing came through that we can absorb that with that maybe rate increase.
Has this passed, or is that?
I didn't check.
It's passed.
I paid too much attention to 501.
The days of cheap water are over.
And that is a tax there.
What did you?
That is a tax.
Yeah.
Did Jimmy Stanworth, when he lived in San Diego, say his water bill down there was
$200 or $300 a month.
So like you said, cheap water is
cheap water. Well, say Kay Ants out of Ivins. You remember Kay Ants out to Ivins? Kay Ants told me, he says, Kenny boy, he said, someday every drop of water in Washington County is going to be in somebody's culinary system, and they're going to be fighting each other over it. And it's getting closer every day. Closer every day.
Ultra water efficiency standards, Faye.
I don't know how much to really talk about this. I don't know a lot about it, but I handed out, or I had Nancy included in the packet, a copy of the standards. There's a meeting on Monday with the Water Conservancy Districts. Actually, it's a public hearing where they're going to be talking about this. I think the mayor and Tyler are going to be going through that.
This had a date of May 2025. Has this already been adopted?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So, yeah, but the top is.
They've been working on this for quite a while.
Well.
And basically what it's going to be is that if you decide to adopt this, say a developer comes in and says, okay, we'll do the ultra water efficiency standards for this subdivision or this section of town, that will save them impact money that they don't have to pay to the water, but they have to abide by all of these regulations, which brings it down to 0.39.
So compared from, it used to be 0.89, so we can double.
5.9 is what it is now.
5.9.
and this will drop it to a 0.39. And basically, it gives you a house 8,000 gallons you get a month, and you pay for that. You go beyond that, the excess rate is going to be really high. You'll pay, I think, even more than $10.
There's one
$10 per thousand.
There's one sentence in here. It says the district reserves the right to use any and all enforcement mechanisms available.
Yeah.
To me, that's a little open-ended.
Where's that?
Well, and that'll be based on what the usage is.
Sentence right here.
At the house.
Right? Yeah, so you go over 8,000, what are they going to do? It almost sounds like they'd come and take your children.
Take your birthday. Oh, no. They're going to take your birthday away.
It'll be financial.
Financial. Okay.
Yeah, you will.
Then they should say financial
bucks.
Here.
You might pay $20 a thousand for anything over.
Yeah.
And there'll be things that are exempt, like, you know, to make up for it, because people need grass to play on and all that stuff. There'll be city parks and amenities like that.
Yeah, and they mentioned that later in there.
One of these, like, landscaping requirement, irrigated lawn is available.
They make provisions for community common areas and things like that, and pools, because they know it's going to be hard for
individuals. You'll see developers want to come in. Higher density, and then the city will, or they will need to put amenities like that in a local park or whatever.
So, let's take an example. Let's take Hogwood Hollow. They're developing now. They follow our landscape requirements, correct? But they also have irrigation. So do they have to follow?
This would be just culinary water usage. So if they've got irrigation, they can, as long as they're not using over that 8,000 gallons, up on the ultra conservative.
Where this is really going to play for the working will be development up on top of the hill. Because we're going to pretty much tell the developers up there that this is what you got to abide by as far as water.
Now and increase our connections.
And that, by doing that, that would increase the connections up to, what, 3,400?
I heard that was moving. You heard anything?
It's getting close. You
got $25 million, you can go buy it.
Yeah.
They got it listed for. There's been several
couple of people
that can come in and ask questions about it and stuff, and then go up on the side. We had a guy in here this morning. He acted like anybody that's going to buy it has to come on site first. The credit union can show them and kind of give them an idea of what these kind of things. They said they have 20 different groups that were interested.
That's right.
Well, we've hit our hour. So,
okay.
Anybody have anything else? We've got a lot going on. This is kind of exciting time.
Frightening.
Feel free, Mayor, to
frightening.
Feel free to involve me in any meetings or anything that water's involved. So. I got plenty of time.
Exciting.
Well, if you want to go to the board meeting on Monday, you're welcome to do that. And I are going to go down just to be there.
What board meeting, sir?
It's the water public hearing. It's on Monday. It's for the ultra-conservative, and they're going to do their rate increase.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Okay, I'll just pick up your house.
Mm-hmm. What time? Monday.
Starts at 6.
The mayor likes to be there about 45 minutes early, so he's not late. So
6 p.m.?
Except when the meeting starts in St. George. When do you want me to pick you up?
4:30?
Across the street, quarter after.
Quarter after 4?
I'll pick you at 10 after 5. No, you were going that way, aren't you? Oh, you can. I'll pick you up a little after that because he's right, lives across the street from me. We'll just go out that way so we can go and bypass road.
Okay, quick. That's 5:10.
Well, going that way is not that bad.
That's PM. So this
back.
Is a
Okay, still got it.
This is an evening meeting?
Yes.
Okay. The board. So it's a board meeting. Yeah. Okay.
We'll just pick you up at your house 20 hours or so.
I move the meeting be adjourned.
What do you want to do with this?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't
know. I move this meeting be adjourned.
Good.
Okay. Motion carries.
My good friend comes downstairs about leaving.